I don't know about you, but that description of the church in Acts 2 seems a bit too perfect. I wonder what it was really like for God to get things going. I do agree that God had every right to be excited. So far, everything worked perfectly. God had recently raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus had ascended. Everything was set for God to launch a global movement. In Acts 2, God had come to the upper room where Jesus' followers had gathered in order to give them a simple yet profound task, to love others into the new kingdom of God. God wanted them to get out there and love people. The rest would follow. God was certain. Jesus had been certain. And God made a grand entrance into this group that day. God moved in their midst like a flame. God caused the newly formed church to speak in many languages and had drawn quite a crowd. Each group of Jews in Jerusalem heard praise and thanksgiving in the language of their homelands. Just from that first meeting, many, many, many people joined their group, and the church hadn't even gone out to love others yet. God was delighted at the potential for this movement, this radical love group. God had visions of global peace and harmony, a veritable kingdom of God, wholeness and well-being for everyone. The church would be a blessing to all nations. Most every other kingdom eventually became a blight on their people. But this one would be radically different. It would be a kingdom where the poor are rich, the one crucified as a criminal would be the head of state. It's a kingdom where the hungry are satisfied, and the last shall be first. Since love would abound, there would be no starvation, warfare, greed, and all the other things that had made life unbearable under those other human kingdoms. This would be the kingdom of God, and Jesus of Nazareth would be the king. It would be great. God was excited, and according to Acts, the church had a perfect start. But was it so perfect? I wonder. Maybe the church's start went more like this. A few hours after the tongues event, God commissioned the church by saying, "Go forth and love others so that they may be drawn to me and be part of the kingdom of God." And then God waved for all of the people of the church to go forward, to get out there. But just then someone asked a question. "Are we allowed to bring a change of clothes and some food? I think that would be nice. In fact, we could even use some of the food to share with others as a way of loving them." God said, "Well, okay, that's a good idea, I suppose, but let's get ready quickly." God didn't want to lose the momentum. So the members of the first church went home and packed a small bag of belongings. They baked some bread and gathered some food. A little while later, just about all of them had gathered again. God said, did we lose a few already? And one of the disciples guessed, "Well, maybe someone's wife wouldn't let him go." God stared for a moment in disbelief, but then said, "Well, okay, we're not going to let that derail our plans. Okay, let's get out there and love people." And some people dashed off, but someone asked a question. "Oh, when are we going to meet again?" God said, "Well, why don't you meet on the Sabbath over at the temple? I'll already be there." And God motioned toward the door of the upper room, hoping everyone would get going. But just as the first person was leaving, someone asked a question. "God, I know that you were part of this new kingdom, but am I still Jewish? You know, if we're going to keep on attending the temple, you know, over there on Sabbath, you know, does that mean we're going to be keeping all of the rules and regulations and behaviors and practices of being Jewish, just like Jesus did?" Another person said, "You know, I was wondering that too. Well, that's a very important question, said a third person. And there followed a long discussion and a debate about what to be done. And pretty soon the sun was going down, and they kept talking. You see, some people assumed that the new church would not be asking the Jewish converts to the faith to change what they had been doing, just to continue observing the law and its covenant demands. Others said, this is clearly a new start as far as the covenant goes. Another person said that he was assuming that any Gentiles he came across, that they would have to take up Jewish customs in order to be a subject in the kingdom of their God. Well, not surprisingly, after allowing a lot of discussion, God finally interrupted. It seems to me you're all trying to get everything figured out instead of just getting out there and loving people. Well, I think it's too late in the day to head out now, said someone. Well, that is true, said God. But first thing in the morning, I want everyone out there loving others into the new kingdom. Oh, sure, of course, the church replied. We can figure that all that stuff later. Well, God was a bit disappointed in how the first day had gone. A few people had gone out to spread God's love, but God hoped for better things tomorrow. In the morning, very early, God woke up the church. Okay, time to head out and love others into the kingdom. Let's go. But some people said, I had a terrible night's sleep. I feel awful. I think I need to rest a bit more and maybe sleep a bit more. I'll start afresh when I'm feeling up to doing it. Maybe tomorrow. Well, being a merciful God, God said, well, okay, but let's the rest of you get out there and love people. And some people started out, but someone asked a question. Just how much sin are we going to allow people? I mean, can you break a commandment and still be in the new kingdom of God? How exacting are we going to be about idolatry and stuff like that? Can people be disqualified even after they're admitted? And, is it okay if, but God interrupted, hold on, you're getting sidetracked again. All you have to do is get out there and love people. Yes, the unconditional love of God is available to everyone. And yes, even though my love comes to people just as they are, I don't expect them to stay that way. I don't want people to sin. But you really don't need to figure out in advance what other people are going to believe and how they're going to behave. Just leave the judging about who's in and who's out up to me. Now let's get out there and love people. God, someone asked, how should we organize ourselves as the kingdom of God? Should we be congregational or episcopal in our polity? In fact, who should be placed in charge? Should we have priests like they do over there at the temple? And who's going to train them? God said, I plan to help you sort out all of that as the need arises for governance. But in the meantime, let's get out there and love people. But someone asked, God, what should we tell people who ask what we believe about abortion? What? Said God with exasperation. It's a good thing that I have the patience of God. Just get out there and love people into faith. That is what you should be focused on. Okay? Well, sure, another person said, but I'm not clear on this loving others and sharing. Are you expecting us to share everything with others as we love them? We've packed some food to share with those that are hungry, but what about other things? Like what? God said. Like everything else, our homes, private property. Surely you don't expect people in this new kingdom to share everything. I mean, who'd want to do that? God ran his hand down his face and moaned, look, loving others should be the center of your life. If you're worried about who owns what, then being about the task of loving people into the kingdom is going to take a back seat. Sharing helps you avoid being self-focused and complacent. It keeps you out there loving others. Sure, some things you are not going to share, but that is a very minor detail compared to getting out there and loving people into the kingdom of God. Now let's get going. After hearing this, two people snuck out the side door and went home. And a few people pretended to be doing what God asked them to do, but actually they went home too. And God moaned in disappointment as he saw this happen. And as another question was raised, God, I know you want us to get going, but what are we to tell people who don't want to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? What if they quote the prophets at us? Or what shall we do with people who don't believe in you at all? Shall we smite them? And can you give us any pointers that will make our arguments more effective out in the field? And God took a deep breath and let it out and said, I am convinced that when you are out there loving others, you are doing something that will be more persuasive than any clever argument. And you will be doing something that shows my true nature to them. I am love. I am grace. Showing my love to others is more convincing than words. You will have very limited success if you turn the spreading of the good news into trying to win a debate. Well, yes, Lord, but if someone tells me that the scriptures say a mighty king like King David is who the Messiah will resemble, and Jesus couldn't possibly be the Messiah, what should I say? With great care and control, God said, I think you may not be completely understanding my point. I don't want you to return logic for logic or get into some proof texting competition. I want you to love the people of my world with as much love and care as you expend on yourself. In doing that, I am certain they will see me and want to be part of the kingdom of God. A few more people snuck out and went to work or to their homes. Oh dear, this isn't going at all like I'd hoped, said God. One of the church people said, Hey, I just thought of something. You know, the other day when we spoke in the tongues of Jews from different lands, that was sort of like a reverse of the Tower of Babel incident, right? At Babel, all the tongues were confused and people were given different languages. And no one knew how to talk to each other, but in the great sign given us the other day, we were able to speak to all the others. God said, well, that's true. And that's the most insightful comment any of you have made so far. The speaking in many tongues is a sign of my desire that every nation learn of my love and of my bringing you all together and equipping you to go out. But I wonder if you aren't just trying to delay your going out to love others. And the person looked guilty and a bit ashamed. He looked up at God and asked, are we disappointing to you, Lord God? Have you ever asked God that question? I don't ask it enough. How do you think God would answer? Many centuries have passed since the church's first birthday. Is the church around the world still asking for clarification before setting out to love the world? You know, that first church is depicted as ideal and perfect. Maybe it was, but I doubt it. I suspect that even then, church members were human beings, like you and I, a mix of faith and doubt, commitment and fear. The church's birthday is a good opportunity, not only for new members, but also to ask, am I disappointing to you, Lord God? Let us pray. Lord God, you are the one who raised Jesus from the dead and have given us so much. Forgive us for doing so little in return. Forgive us for our distraction, our fear. In this sea of red, give us the strength to renew our commitment to being the church of the new kingdom. Help us to be excited and energized to get out there and love others into the kingdom of God. Amen.